Welcome to Beachgrass Roots, a monthly program highlighting nonprofits of the North Oregon and South Washington coastal region. This program is a collaboration with the Astoria Co-op's Change for Community program. You can learn more about Change for Community and the organizations it supports at astoria.coop. This month, we'll be speaking with some of the folks at the Clatsop Community College Foundation's Bandit Food Pantry, a program that provides food to the staff and students of Clatsop Community College in Astoria, Oregon. First, we will hear from Kathy Bode from the college's Basic Needs Program.
Well, I'm Kathy Bode, and I run the Basic Needs Program over there, and I supervise the food pantry. We did at one point serve the entire community, and it was amazing. However, it got to a point that we really could not financially afford to feed everyone. And so the tough decision was made to just students and staff only now. So all a student has to do is show their current schedule with their current term, and they can utilize the food pantry. And while the term is going on, it's Tuesday through Thursday, 11 to 2 for all students and staff. It's went over well. The students are extremely excited to be there, to be able to get in and not have to wait, and to be able to utilize some of the food, because that's why we're there. There's a lot of food pantries across Clatsop County, and so we offer, if someone from the community comes in, we just give them that list and explain to them why we are now student and staff only, and everyone's been really understanding, which we really appreciate. Our food pantry now is booming as far as it's really busy. We get some amazing local donations from some local business owners, and then of course with our food pantry, we also have a clothes closet there that we take donations for as well. We have work-study students that help work in the food pantry. We also have snack stations throughout the campus. Starting fall, they're up again to where students do not have to worry about going to class hungry, which is a huge, huge thing. Food insecurity in our area is a lot more significant than what you would think. When I first started in this position 3 years ago, I did a survey, and it came out at 67% of students were food insecure, and then the rest weren't sure if they were food insecure. It's really disturbing. And when you have people that don't know where their next meal's coming from, and they're trying to make a better life for themselves, it's so important that they know, look, you can come to me somehow, some way. I will, we've got the food pantry, we've got the snack stations, and our staff too, if they needed that. We're there to support our students, and that's been huge in their success rate. What has allowed all of this to happen from the beginning is the foundation, because they are the ones that sponsored and support our food pantry. Without them, we wouldn't exist. They're not only a financial resource for us in what they donate to the food pantry, but they do all kinds of things in the community. They donated from like the pickleball thing they had. They have big fundraisers. There's that. There's the magic they do in the spring. And that is a lot of fun. It's a big dinner celebration, and we all go, and I get to talk with everyone. And it's just been amazing. And whenever there's any kind of an issue, I'm able to reach out. And of course, keeping the foundation in the loop of what's going on and what's happening and how successful things are, or maybe they're not, what's going on. Like I said, it's been really successful. The students are excited to come in.
Could you tell me a little bit more about the clothes closet? What does that program look like?
Well, that actually started soon after I had started in the position. I had a student come to me, and he had went on a biology field trip, and his feet were soaking wet. And he goes, "Do you have a pair of socks?" "No, I don't," And I mean, we looked all over campus trying to find somebody with a dry pair of socks, and we couldn't. And that's where that idea came from. And so now if someone has wet socks, we do have socks. So that's how that sort of was born, was, okay, well, if they need socks, they might need some pants or, whatever. And so the community has been amazing. We have tons of donations from staff, from the community, for our students. And I mean, it's just been a huge success. It's located right next to our food pantry. It's student access only. And they can access it 11 to 2, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Since it is right by the food pantry, we have the hours be the same. If they need something at another time, come find me. I'll take you there. Our goal is to take away any issues we can as people are going along because things happen. And we have everything from, gosh, there's swimsuits, there's nightgowns, there's socks, underwear, bras, shoes, coats, you name it. And it's really been amazing. We've had a lot of staff donate some incredible clothes there and community members for that matter. It's been amazing. Pants, dresses, you name it. We have some interview clothes for both men and women. And I'm sure eventually we'll probably have to expand even more. We've actually doubled the clothes closet in the last year because we had such a variety of donations and we wanted to be able to showcase those so that, you know, we have things for men and we have things for women. So it's really been a godsend. It really has.
Is that something that you're actively looking for community donations for? And if so, how can folks get in touch with you about that?
If they would like, they can email me or they can give me a call or Josephine. My phone number would be 503-338-2531 or my email would be kbode@clatsopcc.edu. There are certain things maybe we have enough of, but there are other things that we don't have enough of. So it would be great. Yeah, just contact me and anything that you want to donate that we feel that we could give to our students that would benefit them, we're more than happy to take a look at it. But yeah, hygiene items are huge. We've had a lot of people contacting us, like if you have, especially right now this time of year, if you have excess produce that maybe you have a garden and you have too much and you don't know what to do with, please give us a call. We would love that. And we've had staff also donate things for our snack stations. And snack stations are just snacks. They have to be individually wrapped. I like also to put in like the little mandarin oranges and apples and stuff for healthy options. And just individually wrapped snacks that somebody who maybe they woke up and they're running to do their test and they haven't eaten. And I don't know about anybody else, but if I haven't eaten and I'm trying to take a test, it's not going to go well. So it's always nice to have these little snacks for them to grab on their way. And I think out of all the things we've done, that has had the hugest impact from what I'm hearing feedback from students. That and the food pantry, I think. And so it all goes down to food insecurity. Gosh, there's actually quite a few stories that really sort of give you that, okay, this is why I do this. You know what I mean? There have been numerous times where I have, you know, been at work and it's a time where the food pantry is not open. And I have someone that comes in and maybe they're living in their car and they're a student. And so that when you get food, it's very specific if you don't have a place to cook it. Now, we do have a microwave over there by the food pantry, that kind of thing. So I've had hungry students come to me where I've been able to get the key to the food pantry and go and unlock it, take them in there, get them food, specific food that they can actually, you know, utilize while living in their car. And just the relief. I mean, it's really heartwarming to me because nobody, as far as I'm concerned, should have to go hungry. Nobody, let alone students at our community college. That's ridiculous. We have to do everything we can to stop that. These students are trying to make a better life for themselves and for their families. And we have students from, gosh, we had the, I think it's Running Start, that they're still in high school, but we also have students that are in their 70s, you know, or 60s or 50s, and they've went through a divorce and they're trying to go back to school to nursing for a better life. And they're having trouble putting food on the table. And so that's why we're there. And we would not be able to do that without the foundation. Their drives and their donations to the food pantry itself that people give. So I think where the need would be, and I don't know that this would even be possible in the future, but to have it open, maybe staffed with work-study students in the future, in the times that the actual food pantry coordinator's not there. That would be something amazing to expand our times we can serve. Though, like I said, I'm not very far from it, so they can come and find me and I can go in and bring someone in. But that would be a huge goal right there, to increase that. And then to our clothing closet as well. I can see that becoming even bigger. Who knows exactly how big that could actually be? And we do have a little bit of room to grow on that. But I mean, that's down the line. Right now, we have to kind of study what the needs are as we're going along. And then, of course, we have so many needs. Our college students do. Housing is huge. There just isn't enough housing in our area for our students, well, for anyone. And so there's a lot of needs, but starting at the basic needs, such as food, that's where my passion lies, is the food insecurity, because it just can't. We can't let that happen. We can't let our people, our community, starve. I moved down here in 1988 from Eastern Oregon, over in the Pendleton area, and I got married and had kids, and I've done social work. I personally went through a divorce years ago, and I had my two small children and wanted to go back to school, but there weren't all these programs, so I ended up having to quit about three times to get a full-time job, to work and try and go to school and all of this and do it all on my own. And so I'm really passionate when someone comes into my office and they're talking about, I don't know what I'm going to do, you know, this is happening. I'm like, wait, let's think about this. What can we do here? How can I help you? And there's usually a way that I can figure out, okay, this is what you need to do here. Because I've been doing this sort of work for so long and in the area that I know the ins and outs. I don't know everything, but I know people. And so I can call them and go, hey, what do you think? Where should I send this person? And there are some tough things that come across my desk that I'm like, I just don't know. And so that's when I really reach out and go, okay, does anyone have any ideas on this? It takes a lot for people to ask for help. So if they walk through that door and they're asking me for help, then that's huge. That took a huge part inside of them to come and ask for help. I respect them. Trying to, first of all, make them feel comfortable, you know, and say, hey, that's what I'm here for. I am here to help, you know, what can we do? And connect them with whatever resources they need. And so the Clatsop Community College Foundation is where all the financial donations go through. That contact information is on the website at clatsopcc.edu. And then there's a tab on there for the foundation. So that would be your first bet there. If you want to donate clothing or hygiene items or food or whatever, you can contact myself. My phone number is 503-338-2531. And then my email is kbode@clatsopcc.edu.
The following is a written statement from Josephine De La Vega, the primary coordinator of the Bandit Food Pantry at Clatsop Community College, submitted to us for this episode. My experience with food pantries began when I moved to Oregon in 2014. I lived in Portland and was eager to embrace community, volunteer my time, and make a positive difference in my life and the lives of the community I lived in. I asked about volunteering and was accepted. After a month of service, I was offered a paid position. I was overwhelmed with joy and gratitude that I would have financial security, plus be able to help others in the way I was helped. I eventually moved to Astoria. I did what I usually do and thought, where can I give my time and contribute to positive change in my new community? I found Clatsop Community College. I then found their food pantry and asked if I could volunteer. This led to a paid position offered by AmeriCorps. 2 years later, our Bandit food pantry has grown in popularity, and a clothing closet was formed next to the food pantry. These are essential for our well-being. Plus, on a stressful day, some newish garments and nutritious food can be the power needed to overcome personal burdens. At our Bandit food pantry, you'll find cheeses, yogurt, cookies, produce like rainbow chard, kale, baby broccoli, watermelons, strawberries, and blueberries. Our shelves have all the essentials, like cooking oils, baking supplies, canned veggies and fruits, beans and rice. We also started a small section of food and accessories for pets. I'm grateful for the opportunity to contribute to positive change in our community, especially for those that are struggling with low self-esteem or poverty. This space instantly uplifts and heals with food, clothes, and comfort in knowing people care.
Well, hello. My name is Jamie Hendricks, and I'm currently the chair of the Clatsop Community College's Foundation Board. I've been on the board for about 6 years now, and really it's just been this amazing journey of something I'm super passionate about, because I've been in those shoes myself where I didn't have money to go to college. I didn't have easy access to college. So this was definitely something I wanted to get involved in and help people gain access to higher education and be able to, you know, live a better life, feel good about what they do when they wake up in the morning and provide for themselves and their families.
Could you tell me what is it that the foundation does? What is the mission of this organization and what are the programs beneath it?
Well, the foundation's been around since 1963. I hope I have that right. So it's been around a long time. It started out with actually $1,000. And the goal of the foundation at that point was really to develop a way for kids to pay for, or not kids, young adults to pay for their tuition. So it was really developed around scholarships for the most part. And even to this day, most of the money is for scholarships. But in the last 5 years, especially coming out of COVID, our team really recognized that we have to be able to find a way to get access beyond scholarships with a group of individuals who maybe can't even put food on their table, or they can't put a roof over their head, or blowing a tire is a big deal. They can't get to school because, as most of us know, we don't have really great public transportation around here that lines up with their classes. So we decided as a team to think outside the box, and that came from the chair before me, Cliff Fick. And we got this email one night. I remember it was a really cold evening. It was during COVID. And the college had reached out and said, hey, we need to try to find some blankets. We have some of our students living out of cars. And so what we did is, we have such a passionate group, we were all on email like, okay, how can we fix this problem? What can we do? We can't just stop at like giving blankets. So what we ended up doing was starting to talk about the food pantry and really sitting down and thinking through what is keeping young adults from attending Clatsop Community College. And really, it's like, we have working folks with families. If they don't have food in their belly and a roof over their head, they're going to show up in the classroom hungry and tired. Of course, that's not going to allow them to really finish their programs if they do even attempt to get in. So the foundation has really gone from this structure of only scholarships into addressing basic needs of people. And that's been something that we're all really proud of right now. So yeah, that's been a change for us. And yeah, we just keep growing from there. We keep coming up with new ideas. So some of the programs that we have developed beyond scholarships, one is called the Magic Opportunity Fund. And this is a baby of ours. It's actually a baby of Jerry Swinson, who's been on the board since like 1965. But what we did is we, through this discovery of what students really needed to succeed, we created this Magic Opportunity Fund. And it came from our auction that we do every year. We have an annual auction. And we took that money and we kind of did this test the first year. And what we did is we had this amount of money and found out that if students could have $1,500 in cash for the year, that they actually could pay for those things, their food, the roof over their head, gas in their car, those basic needs. And so we just simply took the money, $1,500, divided that money and came up with 70 students. So for the last 3 years, we've continued to do that. And the most amazing part about that, we've been tracking the progress and like, how is that actually working? And what we're finding is that students who participate are finishing their programs at about an 8 to 10% higher rate than the students that don't have the ability to use that Magic Opportunity Fund. So we are really working on, that's one of our pet projects going forward, is trying to grow that. The other thing that we've been able to do is just, you know, like help out with the food pantry. That was a big thing. When we started the food pantry, that came from the blanket story where we're like, well, wait a minute, how can we get food on campus? Because these students can't drive out to Warrenton to get food. Like, that's a big deal for them. So we finally, with the help of the Ford Foundation and us, we were able to start the food pantry. And from there, it's really grown. AmeriCorps is helping out and the people down there are just amazing. It is a food pantry for the students and actually the staff there on the college campus. So that's been extraordinarily helpful in so many ways. Just to help students like have food in their stomach, the basic needs.
What are some of the current needs of the foundation? I know always with a nonprofit, funding is the biggest
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
What are some ways that folks can help support with the funding? You mentioned fundraisers. And then are there other ways that people can support to get involved? Are there volunteer opportunities, events, things, the outreach opportunities? What can people do to get involved?
Yeah. So some of the ways that people can get involved in general, there's a couple big things we're looking for right now. Our executive director just stepped into another job. Soon we're going to be posting that position. So we're going to be looking for somebody to really step into a position that's the center of the foundation. So that's a big one. We still are looking for one or two more board members. The strength of your board and the strength of the donors are the two main parts of a foundation. I was thinking through this the other day and I'm like, wow, we have like 15 leaders by their own right on the board. And so we probably are looking for one or two more people. And we're pretty specific about how we bring people on. So there's a diverse element to the board to where we get different aspects of things when we're talking through stuff on how we want to grow the foundation. That part of it is a kind of a bigger role you can step into. But if you're interested in helping out with the foundation, you don't have to commit to those roles. We have events all year long that we're always looking for people. You know, our big auction dinner every year is obviously a kind of an undertaking. People can just step in and help for that certain event. The other part of it too is just the scholarships in general, the donors. Like I said, there's two strengths to the foundation, and the donors themselves have been a tremendous, obviously, part to all of this. So how the foundation is made up is that we have just over $7 million in assets right now. $6.3 million of those dollars are tied up in what we call restricted funds. And those are funds that are only allocated to scholarships because that was an agreement between the donor and the foundation. So we cannot touch that money at all. That has to purely go to scholarships. Then we have about $800,000 that we can pay the bills with. We can create the magic opportunity fund. We can fund the food pantry. We also help fund some of the college programs, paying for whiteboards in the classroom. We had a gentleman on our board that was able to, I had no idea how much dummies for the nursing program and medical tables cost. It was like, wow, that's expensive. But he actually was able to find the nursing program medical table. We don't always have to dip into our funds to get something for the programs. And of course, as anybody that knows the college knows, the nursing program's a big one. So we are just at this point really looking for ways to think outside of the box. And how do we get students into school? Like, how do they know these programs are available? Because you'd be surprised. We don't have enough applicants for scholarships, for example. It's a lot better now. We're getting a lot more. But I don't think that the community knows how much the foundation can provide for a student, and especially in those basic needs.
How can they find out if they qualify, how much money that is?
So the scholarship qualification is an interesting one because I think a lot of people think they have to have the best scores in school, or they have to have, you know, they're at the top of their class. I know when I was younger, that's what I thought. And I think a lot of young adults believe that too. But the best way to find out about the scholarships is to go to Clatsop Community College's website. There's a scholarship tab on there. That's an easy place to go and find out information. And we're just starting our scholarship process. Go to that scholarship tab and, you know, find out how you can have the right contacts to be able to apply. I want to reiterate to anybody that's listening, you go through and the questions aren't just based on how good you are at stuff. A lot of it's based on, like, what's your situation right now? Oh my gosh, I literally started crying when this woman graduated. But, you know, she had had a drug problem. She applied for a scholarship and got it. And she had kids. And by the end of it all, she had her kids back. She had a good job. So it really is not just about we're trying to help people come up and be able to have better lives for themselves and kids. Because, you know, quite frankly, the average age at a community college is not someone necessarily coming right out of high school, although we're hoping that's more. We want to team more with the high schools around here. But it is really people who maybe have been out in the workforce, because I know for me, I didn't go back to college till I was 21 because I had to put food on my table. And I didn't know about programs that could help me do that. And I think by going through the scholarship tab, like I said, on the website, they'll also refer to the foundation, and then any programs that they would qualify for, they could apply for.
Can you think of any other demographics that you feel like are underutilizing this, that you wish really understood that this was an available scholarship opportunity?
That's such an interesting question, because we were having this conversation the other day, and the question being, who's in need? I don't think there's a lot of working people out there that know what's available to them. I think they get into a position where they're working really hard and all they can think about is putting food on the table, you know, especially women who have kids. Like, what are they going to do with their kids while they're sitting in class or going to nursing school? Because nursing school is a full-time job. I mean, it's, you know, almost impossible to hold down a job while you're going through that. Yet, if you can get through it, you have so many opportunities. And so I think what we try to do is really uplift people that think they don't have a way out, but to show up every day and try to go to work and like bust their butt. We want to make life a little bit easier for them. I really think it's about, just because of the demographics in this area in general, I would say it's more about just letting people know that they have more opportunities than going to a job they don't like, or just trying to manage having kids at home. And how do I even have a job if I have kids at home, which is huge. I would personally love if the college had a daycare on campus, but you know, that's one of my big dreams. So yeah, I think what's really cool is that our board members are very diverse. We have somebody who's part of, you know, works at the high school. We have somebody that works at the theater. We have somebody who works at the Bay. I mean, we're all just like big thinkers, and we really think outside the box. Just getting the food pantry in place and the Magic Opportunity Fund, that's not something most colleges do. Like that's pretty unique. I don't know if I can speak for the other board members when I say this. I have brought it up. But yeah, I would love to see a daycare on campus. Now, I know that's a big one, but I always like to dream big. You know, I always tell students they should dream big. But I would love to see a daycare on campus, and maybe that works into, I know they've tried this before, but I know that works into like maybe having some kind of program up at the college to teach how to, you know, early childhood, you know, to teach, or I don't know what the right term is for that, but part of that system would be having a childcare on campus. The other thing that I would love to see here, and maybe because I'm so passionate about my own dogs and about the animal shelter, is a veterinary school in some way. And I don't know what that would look like, at least the starting of being able to go through a program that could make you a vet tech or a veterinarian clinic, because we do have a strong presence here with the trades. And that's something else I want to mention. Like, you know, you look out on the river and there are so many jobs out there, everything from welding to coming off the helicopter to get on the back of one of those boats, and they make good money. I just think the trades are really overlooked, and I love that the college kind of addresses that in some ways. So I'm always thinking about stuff like that. Like, what are the things that people can really function in and be in without spending, you know, 5 years in college to try to get through and still come out making a good living and being able to, you know, afford food and even just finding a house to live in. I would really love to see those types of programs, like thinking outside the box, like what is it that we could do differently here? And maybe some of that is in the trade programs. So if you want to find out about the foundation, whether you want to volunteer or you want to donate, again, you can go to Clatsop Community College's website, and there is a foundation tab. You can learn more about our mission. You can learn more about our vision. Of course, you can see pictures of all of us and who we are. And because we're a small community, you would probably know some of the people on there. At the end of the day, the last thing that I'm so passionate about, in fact, it almost chokes me up, is we focus on the students. I recognize the elephant in the room is that the college has had some challenges. I think if everyone can just stop and take a breath and really understand that there are people out there right now that can't put food on their table, if we can help those students, if we can keep our focus on what those students need, I think we can do phenomenal things with this college. I have no doubt, but we have to get focused on, like, what is the main goal here? And the main goal is to get access to higher education so that people out there can live a life that they're proud to wake up to and be able to actually go do more than just buy food and put gas in their car. I think the last message is, like, let's focus on the students and let's always keep that in mind. Let's focus on the people that want to be students, and that is how the college is going to survive.
Thank you for listening to this month's episode of Beach Grassroots, a program highlighting nonprofits of the North Oregon and South Washington coastal region. Beach Grassroots is produced at the studios of KMUN in Astoria, Oregon, by me, Emma Geddes. This production is a collaboration with the Astoria Co-op's Change for Community program. You can learn more about Change for Community and the organizations it supports at astoria.coop. Beach Grassroots airs the second Thursday of every month on KMUN and can be found wherever you find podcasts.